This is the House of Hockey podcast,
where we talk about the game and the lifestyle.
We've got opinions as hockey fans, friends, and from the female perspective.
Welcome to our house.
Welcome to the House of Hockey podcast. This is episode 181. I'm one of your hosts, Ray Ray. Breezy is out on long-term injured reserve, and I am joined by our guest and friend of the podcast, Alma Laura. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited. I am here in Philly.
And if you're not watching on video, we are both in robes. I was inspired by Alma. She's living it up on the road, following her favorite player, Timo Meier, getting in another game. And she's in a hotel, in a luxurious hotel bathrobe. And I said, well, should I put mine on? And so we are sitting here with our morning coffee and our morning bathrobe. It's Saturday morning. We had to do this a little earlier this week because of my schedule. So thanks, girl. Okay, what the F is happening with the Coyotes?
Look, I got back from the Phillies game yesterday, and I opened up my app to just kind of catch up, and I saw it as breaking news, and I can't believe it. Like, I want to, league, get it together. This is some bullshit you deal with, you know, with your friends. This is some shit you deal with. Like, this isn't professional, and this isn't a professional way to handle it. Imagine these, like, I guess I read where they did tell the players that, but imagine you're a worker for the Coyotes, or you're one of the guys that works the concession stands, you're an usher, whatever the case may be, and you're online just like I am, and that is where you're finding out that you potentially don't have a job anymore. What is that? Like, it's so unprofessional. I love hockey. I love the NHL, but we got to stop with this shit. But I also feel like they've been kind of teasing it. I know they had said Utah was going to be for a potential expansion team, but it's like, look, as a Kings fan, we've had exhibition games in Utah, preseason exhibition games in Utah for 4 or 3 seasons now. So obviously they're testing the market with that. And it was a very good outcome for them. I know a lot of people traveled the city took it well. Remember, they did this with Vegas too. We had Frozen Fury, where the Kings would go out there to play exhibition games. So I was like, when they were like, oh yeah, an expansion team, I was like, you know what? I don't see too much of an expansion team. They might go ahead and just move somebody. But I did not think this is what was gonna go down, especially you guys talked about it in the last episode of the podcast. You know, the blueprint of what it was gonna be like. You know, it looked awesome. I was like, oh my gosh, another city to, you know, to cross out. I'm a big baseball fan, so I was like, perfect, one more thing to do while being out there for spring training. But I can't believe it.
I'm in shock. It has been the craziest storyline maybe of this season. It's been, what, 2 years, 3 years of the, maybe longer, of the Coyotes, Arizona Coyotes, trying to find a new home. The contract was running out at their old arena. There was talks of a new one. There's been like 4 different plans for them across the cities of that like area of Phoenix to try to build a new arena. Nothing has come to fruition. The ownership dropped this huge social media push last week, which you just mentioned, that we talked about how they're going to build this $3 billion complex and they're going to get the land. And then literally like a day later, we find out that there's like talks of them moving to Utah, Salt Lake City. The whole thing is crazy. It's such a disgrace and just disappointing treatment of the players and the team. Like you said, how do you like let these rumors on the internet be the way that you tell the team that they're moving? Do the players even want to go to Utah? Like, what's the team name going to be? Where are they practicing? Like, when is this happening? Like, what's going to go on? And I just cannot believe that this is how it played out. And it's really disappointing. And I'm really disappointed in the way that the organization and the league has handled this announcement, because that's like not the way to do it. I know it's business, and I know that the GM who like dropped that "we're staying in Arizona" thing, that was all just a business move. That was a business move to threaten them. I guarantee you. They were like, "We're gonna put this out. We're gonna put this video out. And we're going to get all the fans on our side, and we're going to tell them we're staying, and there's plans, and it's privately funded. And then what are they going to do? Tell everybody we're moving to Utah?" Yeah, don't mess with Gary Bettman. He's a lawyer. And I just wish this could have been handled so differently. It's so petty. It's so petty.
Imagine being a player. You're like, I'm not gonna wanna fucking play for you. Like, are you kidding me? This is how disposable we are, not just now as players anymore. This is how disposable we are as an organization, where you guys are just like, well, bye, figure it out. Like, you know, us, we always think about more than just hockey. Imagine these guys, their homes that they bought because they're guaranteed to be there a certain amount of time. What is it? People that work for the team. Didn't Biz just buy a house there, and he's remodeling it and all this stuff? And it's like, you stop to think about that, and it's like, imagine us, we're right here, me on vacation, and I find out online, hey, you're getting fired, and I'm over here living the life, and it's like, oh wait, what? Like, what's going on? It was very poorly handled, and I feel so bad for the people of Arizona that have been so ride or die for this organization, for the youth hockey groups that, you know, are there. You're trying to essentially grow the sport, and then you do some shit like this. Let's not forget, you can't say, oh, well, Arizona's not a hockey town. Let's not forget, Austin Matthews is from Arizona, and look at where he is now, on pace to, what is it, on pace to
All
score, I don't
70,
know how. Yeah,
almost 70 goals.
on pace to do that. So that's telling you that having a team in the state helps you grow the game. This isn't the way to do it. Yes, you're going to move it to Utah. It's probably going to be awesome. It's probably going to be amazing. We'll probably be talking about taking a trip out there to check it out. But this is just not the way to do it. If you're trying to grow the game, this isn't it.
No, this is not how you make an announcement with a big move like this. Like, this was so butchered. And I just feel like I'm going to go out on a limb and assume that it has to do with the current owners of the Coyotes. I don't think that this is how Gary would have wanted to handle it, right? We've seen the huge success of the launch of the Kraken, of the Golden Knights. Yeah, those are expansion teams, but I feel like when you move a team, it's just as important. And on the other side, like, I guess there's a lot of hockey fans in Salt Lake, and they're super pumped that they finally get a team. And even like up in the Idaho, Montana area, right? Like, you've got a team there now where you haven't before. And I know that the Utah Jazz ownership is the rumored owners. They're going to be the ones buying the team probably. So, you know, it's hopefully good. I haven't heard any negative things about that ownership group. So I think that could be good for the future of the league. But, and then there's this talk that they're gonna, in 5 years from now or something, Arizona can try to get another team again. It's like, what? They're just saying that. That's a bunch of bullshit. You know, nobody there, you know, that's not gonna happen. It's gonna be like this Atlanta nonsense where it's like, oh, well, maybe in time we'll come back. And it's been how many years since Atlanta lost the Thrashers? I don't think Arizona's ever gonna get another team. And to your point too about the youth organizations there is a huge hockey community there. And that's so sad that they don't have that anymore. And I think the only people we can really point a finger at, or at least raise an eyebrow at, is the current owner of the Coyotes.
Yeah, it sucks. I personally, selfishly, I loved going to Arizona when they were at their old arena, because I've always said that was my favorite arena to go to. There was a hotel right next to it. It was perfect. After the games, you come out to like just a ton of restaurants, a ton of bars. It catered to everybody, and that was just such a fun environment. So when they were talking about moving them, I was like, I get it. I think people were saying it was a long drive, a lot of traffic. They weren't, generating ticket sales and all that, and all that stuff. So I understand it. But then you stop to think about now, well, I'm pretty sure everybody's thinking about it. Well, damn, we should have just renewed a contract. Maybe we would have stayed there. Maybe we would have saved the team. All these what ifs. And it just sucks to be sitting here and being like, well, shit, we don't have a team.
I know. It's just happening with a snap of the finger so quickly, so bizarrely. Let's talk about something a little fun, though, that comes with this. Names. What is going to be the new name of the team? I'm assuming they're going to get a new name. Obviously, I don't think you can call them the Arizona Coyotes. I don't think that's an option. And I'm sure they're going to want to try to come up with a new name, of course, and new branding and things like that. So here are some of the popular names being floated: the Yeti, Stag, Mountaineers. That all ties into the mountainous terrain. You have the Golden Eagles, which is a nickname that was used for the IHL team that thrived in the 80s there. The Hive or Stingers, because I guess Utah is the beehive state. Fun facts. Didn't know shit about Utah until today. The Saints or Pioneers. It could be an homage to the Mormon settlers. And then the Blizzard, but with two Z's, because it would keep with winter theme and go with the Jazz name with the double Z's. And then also, would the team be called Salt Lake City or would it be Utah? Are we going with the city name or are we going with the state? What do you like? What grabs you initially?
I like Blizzard because I like it to kind of just tie in. Like I've always been a tad jealous of what is it, Chicago, because it's like, oh, they have the Chicago Bears and the Chicago Cubs. I think that's adorable. And then like even with Pittsburgh, all their sports teams have the same colorway. Like that's so awesome. But I like the Blizzard, and I feel like their mascot could be the Yeti.
Ooh, I like that. Okay, the only problem I see with the Blizzard is the internet is going to start with the Dairy Queen jokes.
Oh, that's true.
Because,
Hey, screw it. If I was a fan, I'd own it. I'd be like, all right, cool. But no, I think it would be cute so that you could have the what is it, like Seattle, how they paid homage to the what is it, to the troll under the bridge, that one like art sculpture, and that's where Bowie came from. So I was like, oh, they could do the Yeti.
I love this. I think you're onto something, and I think you're going to be really close to being right. I could go, I don't like the Yeti as a team name. I don't want anything to do with bees, hives, stingers. I feel like that's not hockey. The Saints.
I feel like that's like, no offense to anybody that plays beer league, but I feel like that's a beer league team
Totally. It's
name.
giving me like soccer vibes because there was a soccer team in Chicago many, many years ago called the Sting, I think, or the Stingers. So I have a judgment there, but maybe it's okay. I think Saints, when I think I like that for football. Pioneers, that feels like college football to me. Golden Eagles, that feels footballish to me. And then you're like running into the Golden Knights, and then you have the Golden Eagles. I think that's like too similar. So I guess you're right. Like, of all the names, Blizzard. Let's go with the Utah Blizzard. Yeah,
Yeah, and
Utah
that's what I was
Blizzard.
gonna tell you now. I like Utah. I don't like Salt Lake City. Like I think Utah, keep it just, I mean, it has a nice ring to it.
Rolls off the tongue, Utah Blizzard. The Yeti is their mascot. Okay, done. We've solved the problem. Should we just
Yay.
we'll get in touch with the Jazz owners and tell them what we think. I'm sure there's a poll somewhere we can vote. We'll just put our two cents in and just let everybody know we figured it out. I can't wait until we're right,
Yes.
Alma, because you know we're gonna be right.
You heard it here first, guys. We said it. We did it. NHL, you want to send us a paycheck? We're here. We're here all day.
We will gladly take it so that we can just go to hockey games and quit our jobs. Thank you so much.
Exactly.
We love you, Gary. All right, you're in Philly. We briefly touched on that. Tell everybody, so you're going to the game. So today's Saturday, so you're going to the Devils at Flyers.
Yes, so I had no idea it was a big weekend in Philly this weekend. So their baseball team, the Phillies, they wore their City Connects jerseys for the very first time. Allen Iverson got a statue. That's been the talk of the internet because it's not very statuesque. It's more on the miniature side of it. So
How can
so
you do
that
Iverson wrong like that? He's a legend. Come on.
Exactly. I saw him. He's staying at the hotel. I saw him at the
Shut up.
lobby yesterday. Yeah, I was like, oh my gosh, I see why they did the statue little, because he's kind of on the littler side, but I was just in shock. I couldn't believe that was him. I
Did
came
you
upstairs and I just like texted everybody, oh my God, Allen Iverson is here.
say practice to him?
No, I didn't go up to him. He had a big entourage around him. I did do the creeper thing and just kind of took a picture from the side. I saw his mom and another like family member in the elevator. And before I got out, like I told the family member, I was like, you know what? Like Allen Iverson was my boy. He is the reason why when I was young, I always wanted to come visit the city of Philadelphia because of
Oh.
him. And I was like, and he's like, did you see him? I'm like, yeah, briefly, but you know, I know he's busy doing his thing. Just, you know, I love him. You know, I love you guys. Take care. But that was awesome. So I
Oh.
didn't know that was going on. And then tonight, Wayne Simmons is retiring. So he signed a 1 day contract or something with the Flyers so that he retires as a Flyer. So they're having a ceremony for him at the game. And I had no clue. And so I was like, oh my gosh, this is awesome. I get to be there for that. And I think they asked him, like, you know, because he played with LA. He also played, you know, with
Yeah.
teams here and there, sprinkled out here and there. But he said that the reason he wanted to retire as a Flyer is because he embodies what a Flyer is. And he's like, without a doubt, when I got here, I was a Philadelphia Flyer. So I'm like, oh my gosh, this is awesome.
I think that's wonderful. I love when the team gets behind that and supports the players being able to retire, as the team that they choose. And I think he really does. I think his name is much more synonymous with his time as a Flyer. And you get to see my boy Tortorella. I need a full report.
I will. I'm excited.
But this game matters too, though.
Yeah, it matters to Philly. I don't know like I have no clue what happened. Like they held on to that third place position pretty much the entire season, and then right now they're just struggling to win, and they're not getting any help from anybody else because teams they need to lose end up winning or taking it into overtime where they're getting points. And Philly's just kind of sitting there where now their three games really matter, and all three games are at home. But I think the people who are trying to catch them up, all their games are at home. So this is crazy. I just, you know, obviously, like I said, I love Timo. I want Timo to do well, but for Philly, it's just I wouldn't mind them being in the playoffs. And I know it's very controversial to say because I have been following the Devils the entire season and their rivals, but the city of Philadelphia, they get such a bad rep for the passion that's behind, you know, their fans, but I love it. Like they are a very passionate city. They're about their sports, and I love it here. It is amazing. So where I'm staying at, it's what is it? Live hotel and casino. It's literally right next to all the arenas. So all the arenas are in the same little like complex. So you have the football, the baseball, and the basketball, along with now the casino. So right after the games, everybody's just walking and scrambling everywhere, and it's so much fun. I know it sucks for people that live here because I saw it yesterday, like walking back to my hotel. there was a Sixers game and there was a Phillies game. So that traffic to get out of here was insane. But I was just cool. I'm chilling. I'm walking to my room with all the people, all the fans. It was so much fun. I love it here. I can't wait for tonight.
It's going to be so much fun. I can't wait to hear all about it from you. But we've got to talk about a couple other teams that have clinched playoff spots. So, your LA Kings clinched.
Finally, I'm so excited, but I'm scared.
This is the second year in a row, right?
Third.
Third. Second or third?
Third.
Third.
Yeah.
Excuse me. Your friend is like, you better get it right, Ray.
No, this is the third year, and the way things are going, it appears we might be playing Edmonton yet again in the first round, and that is not what I wanted. Not to say, oh, I'm scared. Playoffs, whole new ball game. You start at zero. What happens in the regular season doesn't really matter in the playoffs. Anything can happen, but I just rather not.
Listen, you guys know that team though, and I think that you can handle them, hopefully. If your team doesn't have what happened in the middle of the season where everything sort of like plummeted all of a sudden and now you guys are back up playing together, I hope you they can rally and really, bring it because they've shown so much potential over the last couple seasons, and it feels like this season's been a little rockier than most, of course, with a new coach and everything coming in. But I mean, take down the Oilers for me, please. That's the only time I will ever be supportive of in any way of the Kings.
I like how you were very careful to say that because I know if you said, oh, I'm going to be a Kings fan, Breezy was going to cut that out and use that against
Everybody would. All of you Kings fans who give me a hard time about it would. Yeah, I think there's potential there because everybody wants Connor McDavid to win a cup and all of that, but I still just don't see that happening with the way that that team is structured. But alas, I'm sure you are very relieved and excited to be watching playoffs come April 20th.
I am. I'm so excited. Not looking forward to purchasing tickets because ticket prices went up, but I will be there.
I know you will. I know our good friend Mikey is also going to be super excited to be doing a playoff run again as the in-arena host for the Kings. Something you're not going to be excited about, Mark Stone back on the ice for the Golden Knights. Your eye roll, I love it. She's sipping her coffee like, oh bitch, don't even get me started on this shit. I knew this was going to happen. So he had a ruptured spleen, had surgery. They really didn't anticipate him being able to come back for playoffs at all. He wasn't a red shirt on the ice at practice. So it's not, yeah, I don't think he's like entirely cleared to come back to play. However, they're going to do it again. And I just want to remind everybody that at the beginning of this season, I placed a $10, $5 bet, I wish I could remember, in Vegas for them to repeat. So I'm rooting for Vegas all the way through because I just want to win my $5 bet. That's where I'm at right now. Like, that's what I want to have happen.
Oh man, I really hope they end up being a first round exit so it could be like, oh, you went through all of that and look at
Yes.
you. I don't want to be a first round exit. I just hope it is. You know what? It is what it is. If they are doing something shady, come to the trade deadline and and this is the way that they're doing it. Well, let's hope. We'll see. I always tell people, the ball doesn't lie. So if they get booted out in the first round, that means they got their karma. And if they didn't, then I really don't know. Maybe the eclipse helped him get better. I don't know at this point, but it's so frustrating to hear that. I was like, you gotta be kidding me. We all knew it was gonna happen, but we will see.
It's happening. I don't know if he'll make it for the first round. I mean, there's still a little bit of time for him to make a recovery. I'm sure he'd probably be a little concerned getting on the ice and taking any really tough hits and that kind of thing. That's probably pretty serious. Your spleen and just internal bleeding, you know, things like that. It's like kind of a big deal.
Yeah.
Which leads us to our injury topic that you wanted to address, which I think is spot on. So Jack Hughes, we come to find out with major shoulder issue, shoulder surgery he had a couple days ago. He's been hurt for probably a month now. And your question is, which I thought was really interesting, is like, where does that, whose decision is that? Where does that choice get made? Do the players decide? Is that safe for the players? Who is protecting them? Should they not be playing? Should it be up to them? Like, where does all of that lie? I want to hear your thoughts on this, and then I'll share mine.
Well, to me, that's where it was, it was no joke. I know the running joke is the whole, oh, people pay to come watch me play, and it almost feels that since that there was a decline, right? Poor thing. But everybody saw it. He wasn't the same person when he came back from injury. You know, me that I've been watching them a little bit closer this season, wasn't taking face-offs. Then over there, in Anaheim, when he takes that penalty shot, not to discredit Dostal for being a great goaltender, but that's a shot Jack Hughes makes, right? Like, how do you miss that? And that was with a lot of it. His play was just not the same. Then you come, everybody has said, it's the shoulder, it's the shoulder. We're going to end up hearing, oh, he's going to need surgery. And sure enough, Devils aren't making it to the playoffs. They officially got eliminated from playoff contention. And then you hear, well, Jack's not playing for the rest of the season because he will be go undergoing shoulder surgery. So it's like this is an injury that has clearly been bugging him. It's been something that's affecting his game. At what point do you pull the plug on that? Who's the one saying it's okay? It's affecting his game. The player is not playing up to the best of his ability. Therefore, it's affecting the entire team. So then who says it, or who do the players play through it and they're like, no, I got it. I'll get it taken care of. Once the season's over, we make playoffs, I will play. Are the trainers okay with it? Are the coaches okay with it? Because it's not just him. And I'm not just bringing it up because, oh, it's the Devils, but we hear it all the time. As soon as a team gets eliminated from playoff contention, you hear so and so was
Surgery
playing with a
report.
broken this, broken that. They're gonna need surgery. They're gonna need that. And it's like, okay, but at what point the league is trying so hard to protect these players. We see it with all the protecting, now the penalties, all of that kind of stuff. But then you go and you hear this stuff. Oh, he's gonna need surgery. He's been playing injured all this time. Oh, he has a broken foot, but there he is in the playoffs. So how are you protecting the players if you're still allowing them to play injured? Is it the players? Is it the coaches? Is it the staff? Who is it?
It's the hypocr- I'm going to bring up this word again for a second week in a row. There's a hypocrisy here lying in what is the Players Association protecting the players, right? You want to protect them to a degree, but this game and this season is so long, and the injuries that happen, it's about like it's so common that most of the guys are playing with some kind of injury, whether it be minor or not. And I feel like it's really just been an accepted part of this game and this league that like that's going to happen, and you just play through it. Because is a Jack Hughes at 75% better than no Jack Hughes? Except when you miss your penalty shot when it matters, like, right, there's a million reasons why that goal couldn't have gone in. I'm just using that as an example, right? Like, is that better or is it not? And I'm sure that's probably been a lot of his frustration we've seen on the ice as well. When you're injured and you know you have the ability to do the things that you can do, but you can't do it to your full potential because you're hurt. And I don't know who, I feel like that's a really blurred line in this sport of the players, I'm sure, have a say. Like they have a say to a degree. And I think that liability falls on them, because if a trainer, a coach is saying, you're too hurt. This isn't going to be good. Da 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 da. We don't recommend you play. But if the player is like, I can do it. I want to do it. I feel like it's like a multi-person conversation that goes down, because there are coaches out there who really do look out for the well-being of their players and would say like, no, we need you for, depending on how old they are or whatever, no, we need you for the next 4 years. I can't have you making an injury worse. And I think it also depends on the level of the injury or what's really wrong. What's really wrong with Jack's shoulder? Is it minor enough where he can continue to play through it? It's not going to get any worse. I doubt that. Like any injury, you start building up scar tissue. It starts to heal on its own. You can't like put a shoulder in it. Like to heal a shoulder, you have to have your arm like in a sling, immobile. Like you can't be immobile when you play hockey, you know? So I don't know. I think it's something that the players decide and know is sort of part of what's expected. Is it right? Is it wrong? I don't know.
See, and that's where I feel like still, I know the cap goes up, you know, year after year, but you see how much more money it's made in all the other sports. And I feel like I'm not being biased because I love hockey, but you feel how much these guys put their body through every single season and they still get paid bare minimum compared to everybody else.
Yeah. It's not right. I think that's why people like you and me and the people who listen to this podcast are so enamored with this sport and so appreciative of the players and have so much respect for the players and why we love it so much and why we're so protective of it. Because we only have like a tiny inkling of what these guys are going through. You know, we've talked about it. You and I were talking about how the morning skate and then they're back to the room and then they're on the plane and then they're at the game and how they do it. And most of them have some kind of injury.
Yeah.
Forget about the mental side of the game. We're just talking about the physical side of playing with an injury, you know? I think it will be interesting to see, especially because to your point, the league is all about trying to protect these guys and no fighting, because if they don't have their helmet on and they hit the ice, then, you know, it's super serious. I think this is just as serious, but they have a different idea.
Yeah.
Did you have a chance to listen to the Joel Quenneville interview on the Cam and Strick podcast?
I did not.
Okay. So in case anybody forgot who Joel Quenneville is, he is the second winningest coach in the NHL. He brought my Chicago Blackhawks 3 Stanley Cups. He got fired from his coaching job with the Florida Panthers after the Kyle Beach lawsuit that happened. He finally, for the first time in several years, has spoken publicly about the whole situation. And while he didn't address everything, and there were definitely some of the questions that the interviewer asked that he was like, I don't feel comfortable talking about that, or I don't want to talk about that, which I think is understandable. And he did share quite a bit. And I think the biggest thing that I gained from it is that he owned up to his mistakes. Very admittedly, was like, I should have done more for Kyle. When I heard that there was a video coach bothering the guys in the minors, I didn't ask more questions. I didn't check in to make sure they were really okay. And he's like, and that is what I should have done and could have done better. And he takes full responsibility for that. He also sort of explained and painted the picture of where his role in that organization was as well. Like he made it sound like his lane was just the coaching lane and that he wasn't to be involved in any of the other decisions that were being made. And he even called the leaders and president and GM, the law firm. So that's painting a picture of sort of how that organization was run. Doesn't matter. And he wasn't like blaming, he wasn't trying to make excuses by any means. He was just trying to sort of give some context of what it was like for him in that moment in time. And he's very quick to say that he could have done better. He should have done better. He's done a lot of work off the ice, learning more about sexual abuse victims, how to handle that. He's even speaking to the coaches and GMs in the league about what to do if something like this happens. I feel like that's a little bit of penance that he has to pay, which is fine because we should fucking learn from this experience and we should be able to learn from our mistakes. And he really feels like he deserves a second chance to coach again. And I think he does. And I'm sure people are going to be up in arms that I said that. Based on what I heard from him and his statements of saying that he did not know sexual abuse was even on the table, that was not what was said to him, that first initial, like, one meeting that was 5 minutes long where they were like, yeah, the video coach has been bugging. He used the phrase like, they've been bugging the players on the Rockford team. And he said his understanding when he left that meeting was that that it would be handled and that they were just letting him know what was going on. And then Kyle was fired, or not Kyle, the video coach was fired, you know, a couple weeks later. So yeah, you should go and listen to the interview because the guy did a really great job. He asked every single question you would have wanted to ask him and didn't hold back. And I really appreciated that. And Quenneville really stuck in there and took the beat, like took the heat and answered what he could. And he really wants to coach again. And I think he would never let that happen again to another player.
Well, just right now you explaining, you know, you giving me the cliff notes of that. Like I was just taken aback a little bit because when stuff like this happens, all you ever want to hear from somebody is they're owning up to it. You know, what's done is done. You know, right now I was like, you know, teared up by you saying everything. You want somebody to own up to their mistakes, to say, hey, I fucked up and I could have done better. Mm-hmm. And everybody wants that. That's the, not to say that, oh, you know, it's all good and dandy, but that's a first step to getting right with all of this stuff. We don't know what goes on in those locker rooms. Like I didn't know what a lot of, or what's considered abuse a lot of the time. You don't know that until somebody's like, girl, like, or the gaslighting or all of that, like, girl, you're being gaslit. What? Why? Because that's not how somebody's supposed to talk to you. That's not how somebody's supposed to treat you. That's not how somebody's supposed to put their hands on you. Like all of that stuff. And I know now, you know, more people are talking about it. More people are bringing awareness to it. I'm not, like you said, I'm not saying, oh, 10 years ago when this happened that it was okay.
Right.
Because it never is. But the fact that, like, to sit there, it takes a lot of guts to sit there and admit, hey, I screwed up. Mm-hmm. So the fact that, like you said, yeah, right now he's paying his dues and going to talk to people about it. But that, I feel like that we need to talk about it. It needs to be talked about, even in the league. Like we said, we're so enamored by these players. We admire them and all of that stuff. They need to, all this, it needs to be brought up to them and needs to be like, you know, locker room, this is right, this isn't wrong. Who's to say that it's not happened a lot more often with these guys, you know, under these guys' noses and they don't even know it? Because it's like, wait, that's abuse? So I'm just like you, and I know that we might get a little bit of backlash, but everybody deserves a second chance. And he's paying his dues. He admitted to his wrongs. Why not?
Right. I think it's the only way to handle this kind of situation. And we see it play out incorrectly so many times with celebrities, famous people, whatever, where they don't just admit to their wrong and take their responsibility. And I think the moment you can take responsibility for your actions, instead of trying to deny it, blame, play victim, nothing. Quenneville did none of that. He, in my opinion, and I respect him for that. And I think that's all you can ask for. And now, and he even said, they were like, okay, if you get another coaching job, what's going to be your first like step? And he is like, I will sit down with every single owner, GM, president, and I will find out what is our protocol to handle issues like this and or other things. We need to all be on the same page of how do we handle this? What is our plan? And how, you know, what do we do? And I think, you know, what more do you want from a coach? You know, it's not just Quenneville's responsibility either. Like, this wasn't just Quenneville's responsibility. Everybody else got fired that was involved in this as well. So, you know, it's not just him. And I feel like he really got the brunt of it and had to play the public hanging for this, you know, because he is the coach and it's easy to put that on him. And hopefully he will get to return to the bench. And he certainly pleaded his case very publicly, and he'll have more meetings, I'm sure, in time. And if he doesn't, you know, that's the way it goes. And here we are, you know. There was something else you said that I was going to comment on. And I don't, oh, it's like the, okay, so not to compare Quenneville to Babcock, but like you've got a Babcock who's got this like proven track record of inappropriate relationships with players, and you let him get hired by Columbus, and then almost immediately something goes awry and now he's fired, and Babcock has not come out and spoken. He's not released. I don't remember. He might've released a statement, but I don't think so. But like, over all the years of the shit he's done, has he ever publicly come out and been like, I made a mistake and I own it? I don't think so. Has he?
No, like, I don't think so. Like you said, right now, everybody deserves a second chance. He was given one. And you said, as soon as he got hired there, more stuff came to light. And now I feel like I feel he lost his job because now the power of social media, mm-hmm. you can't hide this. This isn't something that you brush under the rug anymore, because now it's brought out to light, and that's what everybody can talk about. You know, now there's jokes, now there's memes, now there's this, now there's that. But all the talk around, you know, around the town, around social media, now coaches can't be like, well, shit, we can't keep them on there because now we're looked at under a microscope, and they're like, yeah, no, we got to fire them. If not, they're going to keep talking about us.
Yeah. And that's not what you want from a coach to a player in any capacity. But we're not seeing that like remorse. I feel like from more of Babcock's perspective, we're getting like, I wasn't doing anything wrong. I was just trying to build a connection with my players. And like, I'm sure, you know, it all depends, of course, right? Like anybody could say that and be like, you're taking it out of context and that's not correct. And that could be true. Mm-hmm. But in this kind of situation, I think you have to like take some ownership, even if you weren't doing something what you thought to be wrong. But with people who do inappropriate things, they're always going to think they're innocent. So it's like a lose-lose. That's that heavy conversation. Let's switch to the women's side briefly. The IIHF championships in Utica will have happened by the time this episode comes out, which is why we are not going to talk about it. But it certainly looks like that US and Canada will be facing each other in the final. And it was probably a crazy, epic, very exciting game to watch. but there's no point to really talk about it because it will have already happened. And we don't know the answer because we cannot predict the future, except for the Utah team name, which is
the Utah Blizzard
with the Yeti mascot. Social media viral video. I've got to shout out Andrei Svechnikov from the Carolina Hurricanes, who scored not his first, not his second, but his third Michigan goal. Did you see that goal?
Yes, I love that kid.
She's the best.
makes it look so easy.
Yeah.
And I, oh my God. And again, I get it. I'm a Trevor Zegras fan too, but I didn't see this one circulating like his did. I was like, where's the love? I had to go, I saw it through one of my friends that he reposted it. And then, you put it on the sheet, and I was like, I didn't see this all over everywhere
No.
like I did the Zegras one. Why aren't we talking about this? There's more marketable players around the entire league. A lot of them. Why?
Yeah. And it was his third one. And the best part is the refs didn't even know the goal went in. The puck went in, I mean. They didn't even know. They played. I'm like, how do you not know? Like 30 more seconds goes by and he's trying to tell them, I scored, I scored, I scored. Can you imagine? I
God, all
can't.
those refs. That
That
was
was
so
super
good. It was too good.
Yeah, it was too good of a goal. And sort of a little embarrassing for the refs there. Like, when Svechnikov is on the ice, you kind of got to watch for that Michigan thing that he does. You got to pay a little extra attention when he has the puck just in case. No? All right. Drop the ball there. But either way, that was super, super exciting. Okay, who's your hunk of the week?
So I'm gonna go ahead and give my hunk of the week to the women in sports. Whether you're playing a sport, whether you're doing TikToks about it, whether you're doing get ready, get ready with me to go to the games, whether you're podcasting like we are, whether you're media casting, whatever it is that you are doing, keep doing it because this year has been just so much greater for women in sports. We saw it with the college basketball, like how much buzz was generated around that tournament, something that has never happened before. So women, don't let anybody take your shine. Let's keep shining on and let's keep growing the game, whether it's baseball, hockey, basketball, whatever it is that you're doing, keep doing it. And we really gotta stop with the, well, all of a sudden everybody's a fan because of this. We're never gonna grow the game if that is your mentality behind anything. With the Kings, hey women, if this is your first time watching the playoffs with the Kings, by all means, message me. You need help. We can sit down. We can watch the game together. I will explain it for you. Let's keep it growing. I'm tired of hearing, well, I liked him first, and why all of a sudden? We need to stop that shit. We really do, whether it is with sports or anything else. We're here to grow the game. So I'm gonna go ahead and give a shout out to all the women. Keep doing it. Let's keep doing it. And yeah.
I couldn't agree with you more. Who cares what gets you interested in it? Be grateful for Caitlin Clark for her abilities and for bringing people to the game. And the more the merrier, I'm going to stay in the vein of what you're saying, a little different, but I'm going to go with the PWHL Ottawa team as my hunk of the week because they were doing basically a hitting clinic with former Ottawa Senators defenseman Mark Methot. I think I said his last name right. But he was showing them how to hit it, like, and not injure yourself and not injure other people. And I was like, these women are serious about the playoffs. Playoffs are starting soon for the PWHL. They're learning, they're ready to like take their game to the next level. And I love to see that. And I love to see a former NHLer just being so supportive in such a way and wanting to help them and grow and learn. So that is my hunk slash lady of the week.
Yay.
Okay, have fun tonight. We'll have to follow up when we have you back on to hear about your experience. I can't wait to see all the clips of Wayne's retirement, and it's gonna be a great game too. Oh, I'm just
I'm
so
so
jealous
excited.
you get to see my man, my favorite coach. Torts. I need a full report of like how's he looking? What's he like behind the bench? How stressed out is he? Like I need a full report, Alma, in case you didn't know.
I will. So the drinking will take place in the second period. So that first period, I could take notes down for
I need a full play-by-play report from you. Now he's yelling. Now he's not. Now he's smiling.
Will do.
That's too much. I'm kidding. But I do need a little update.
I will. I will.
Thanks for coming over to our House of Hockey podcast and hanging out with us. We'll be back next week with a brand new episode. And in the meantime, you can follow us on social media. Just look for House of Hockey Podcast. We'll be back next week.